love it. Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic Comedian's Guide to Autism. I am your old seasoned host, Kirk Smith, and the young whippersnapper here, my buddy.
I'm the millennial Graham K. You guys want to know about the internet and Snapchat? You ask me, you message me, I got all the answers, and that is my elderly friend over there. We're both getting old, buddy.
I think you listen to Journey regular. Like, I mean, I listen to Journey regular, and you listen to it ironically. That's the big difference, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like the irony, and I'm just like, no, I like the song. I remember this song when it came out.
You're like, I went to the concert.
Yeah, exactly.
I took my kids.
I just came back, bought my second house. I was just back from the war. Guys, this is Comedian's Guide to Autism. I have a severely autistic son who's now 20. And Graham, tell us about your brother, Petey.
Petey's birthday's coming up. He is, somewhere in the middle to the more functioning side. His birthday's coming up, and he is very excited. He's going to turn 35. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, he's going to turn 35.
Oh, that was a funny reaction, buddy.
Oh, it's just terrifying. But anyway, he wrote me a big, long list of Star Wars stuff that he wants. I was really worried because he, you know, for Christmas and his birthday for, like, the better part of 20 years, I've been getting him Star Wars toys. So it's easy to get. And I was worried that, you know, the collection was running out. That's what he said last time. But no, I guess he couldn't think of anything else, too. So he, like, messaged me. He wrote me a big, long email. Every May 1st of every year, our birthdays are June. His birthday is June 12th. Every May 1st, he messages me and goes, this is what I want for my birthday. And give me a big, long list. It's like $500 worth of toys, so I have to, like, choose which one. But every year after, he's always like, well, I think my shelf is full. I can't have any more. And I'm like, are you sure? I don't want to, like, you know. I don't have to, like, look for stuff. That's why I can just get it online. Anyway, so, you know, Star Wars stuff is coming. He's excited. He's super pumped. And then, he's always great this time of year because it gets warmer and his birthday's coming. Yeah, how's your son? How's JJ?
Last question. I was just going to say, how's he doing on his weight?
His weight is okay. I think it stayed the same. He was losing weight and then he wasn't. But I think he's drinking less. So that's good.
Good.
I had a job offer to go work in Ottawa, my hometown, and this summer, and I turned it down because I was traveling too much, I felt, in the earlier part.
Comedy
of the year,
or what?
I wanted to, just comedy. Yeah, it was comedy. Yeah. You know. What do you mean, construction? What do you mean?
I don't know. You say a job offer, because you say a gig, or I had a show, or I don't know. A job offer sounds. Oh, maybe it's a writing job? Okay.
No. It was to work at the club there.
Okay, got it.
But I turned it down because I wanted to, like, be in New York just for a couple months, you know, for the most part. I still have gigs lined up, but it's like I'm not all traveling too much. And anyway, now I'm like, I haven't seen Peter in a while. I don't know if I'm going to see Peter soon. I don't know how his weight's doing. You know, I don't know. I haven't seen a picture of him. I haven't seen him since Christmas. It's weird. So now I'm guilty. Now you put me down a guilt spiral.
Okay, well, let's pull you right out of the guilt spiral. He's a grown man. You're a grown man. And so just, you know, people on the spectrum are just people. And so you're not required to build your whole life around him every day of the year. He's got a whole network of people that love him. Your mom loves him. Your dad's there. So, yeah, just don't feel guilty. Just take action and book a gig up there. Get back up there.
All right.
Yeah, don't beat yourself up. You're fine. You're doing great. Your foot's on the mend. You got a pimp cane. I saw that cane you've got.
Oh, yeah. My foot's on the mend, guys. I'm out of the boot. I'm out of the walking boot. I'm out of the temporary cast that I wore way too long because I didn't understand the doctor's instructions. And well,
they were in English, in fairness, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, foot's getting better. I'm hobbling around, and I'm off the crutches, and I ordered a brass eagle-headed wood cane off Amazon.
Baby.
So I'm walking around like a pimp. If you got to have a cane, you might as well have fun. You know, as men, we have so few opportunities for accessories.
That's true. Yeah, if you're going to get old, you may as well own it. That's my motto, too, Graham. I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've decided I'm not going to retire from basketball.
Well, you're back. Guys, you heard it here first. Autastic. Graham K's back. Cane and all.
But then my doctor said I won't be able to play basketball for 4 more months.
Okay. You know what I noticed on the last ship I was on? Graham and I sometimes work on ships telling the old Jokerouskis. They had a basketball court, full court.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I play on that sometimes.
Me too. I taught some kids a valuable lesson about respecting your elders.
just injuring teenagers.
No, that you can't, you'd never judge a book by its cover. I know I look like I'm out of Pleasantville, but we're both going to escape with a few little bumps and bruises at the end of this.
I think the world's a better place that you didn't grow up in Canada and play hockey, because you would have destroyed some people.
What do you mean? I would have enjoyed that. I think hockey's fun. I like it. Oh, yeah, I would have fought too much?
Well, you would have fought. You would have injured people.
Injured's a strong word, but I do like a little contact.
Yeah, it is weird how getting bumped makes you feel alive, and bumping people.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I know it's weird.
It's something deep inside of me that makes me feel like I'm living. Yeah, it's exactly it. I feel like I'm alive.
Yeah, it's weird. I know, me too. That's why I loved football when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Football is the only sport I loved practice. I looked forward to practice because I could just smash people and they could smash me. We have anger issues.
Do you play tight end?
I was a defensive end.
Defensive
and a
end.
Tight end.
Perfect. I was going to say defensive end, but I thought you might get your feelings hurt. But yeah, defensive end would be perfect for you.
I was bulkier.
Okay.
I did play tight end. I played both ways for about 5 games in a row. And then I was catching stuff. They would never throw to me. I was catching stuff all practice leading up to the Friday game. I was making amazing catches, diving catches. And then I kept being like, "Coach, you got to throw to me during the game." And he's, because I was blocking, you know. And he goes, "Oh, we'll see. Nah, nah, nah. We're not going to throw you. Not going to throw to you." And then comes game time. It's like third, fourth quarter towards the end of the game. We're winning, but we need another score. We're in the red zone. We go in the huddle. And then the quarterback goes, like, Y36Z or whatever. And I go, Y36Z? I'm in my head. I'm like, that's my play. I'm going to score a touchdown. We go out there. All I had to do was run forward 10 yards and then make a right. I ran forward 10 yards. The guy who was blocking me was not prepared for that. I had not ran into coverage all game. So I was wide open. There was nobody within 100 miles of me. And the quarterback, in order to get he was going to have the school record for most touchdown most touchdown passes if I caught it. He throws the ball. I'm wide open. The ball's coming towards me. I'm like, I'm going to score a touchdown. And I miss it with my hands like a cartoon, like my arms cross. And the ball hits me in the head, bounces off my helmet, and I fall over.
You fall over is perfect.
I fell over. Like my arms crossed.
Whoa.
And I tripped, yeah, and bonked off my head. And then I never played a snap of tight end again.
Like, just chase the quarterback, big fella. You're fine. You don't have to make your hands move.
Yeah. I got too nervous. I have natural ability, but I overthink things.
That sounds about right. I've done the opposite.
Something is wrong
no
in my
ability.
Cerebral cortex, possibly.
Ooh,
that's
maybe.
Foreshadowing.
I do the opposite. No ability, no thinking, just contact. Yeah. You want to break in this interview? You want to introduce it?
Let's do this. This next. Okay, look, this is a special episode. We haven't really talked. We haven't set it up at all. But here's what's going to happen. We have a. Another interview from roving reporter Jill Escher. She was up at Montreal at the world's biggest conference about autism. Is that true?
Well, it's the let me look up the exact name. It's the she always sends me the acronym, so I always. But it's called the. Go ahead. Sorry.
And I was just going to say, while you were while you're going to research that, I'll tell you who she interviewed. She was up there, and she interviewed. She sent us, I believe, 7 interviews. So we're going to space those out and include those in the next coming months of episodes. And
INSAR conference. Yeah, but you're right. It's in Montreal.
INSAR, INSAR, and the. His name is what's it? Manuel.
Manuel Casanova, great name.
Oh yeah, Manuel Casanova, what a great name. So he's a he's a scientist, a doctor, and at.
Let me just say it one more time. University. International Society for Autism Research, which is the INSR. This year it was in Montreal, and this is Manuel Casanova, who was he's from the Canary Islands originally, Puerto Rico, but Canary Islands, yeah.
But now he works in South Carolina, University of
That's right.
North Carolina. One of the Carolinas, I can't remember.
Yeah, he works in the South.
He says it in there. He says it in there. I just listened to it. I didn't write it down. Don't, guys, come at me, all right? You listen to the interview. You'll see.
He's got one leg. Leave him alone.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, everyone. Roving reporter Jill Escher here, and I'm in Montreal, Canada. Bonjour. at the INSAR conference, the International Society for Autism Research conference, which is the world's giant conference where all these gajillion autism researchers come together and talk autism science. And I'm sitting here today with Dr. Manuel Casanova. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
Sure. You have an accent, Dr. Casanova. tell us, where are you from?
Well, I was born in Puerto Rico, but my family came from the Canary Islands, a big island called Tenerife.
And you are now a professor in the South. Where are you?
University of South Carolina School of Medicine in Greenville.
And you're a neuroscientist. Tell people what you do.
Well, I initially trained to study neurology, and I was a clinician. I used to treat primarily patients with seizures and Parkinson's disease, low back pain. But from there on, I actually moved to being a neuropathologist, and finally...
Okay, neuropathologist. Can you tell people what that means?
Well, it means that I used to examine the brain...
of a dead person.
Of dead people, grossly and then microscopically.
And when you say grossly, you're looking at the anatomy of the brain.
Right.
And then microscopically, like on the slides, on like a right. little slice of a brain.
Well, the thing is that many times you can notice the pathology just by simply looking at the brain, but sometimes the level of pathology escapes that resolution, and you need to do higher resolution studies.
Right. So pathology means something's wrong, like something's
yes.
not normal.
Yes.
So sometimes you can actually see the pathology, but other times you really have to look at the little details.
Which actually brings us to autism, because just by simply looking at the brain, you wouldn't be able to say what is wrong with the same. You have to look at higher level of resolutions.
Right. In fact, my son, who has pretty severe autism, is nonverbal. We did a CT scan of him when he was a kid. They couldn't find anything wrong, for example. Looked completely typical. But he's autistic. So go ahead. So tell us, what are you finding in autism brains?
Well, I usually concentrate on the cerebral cortex, which is called also the gray matter of the brain. You know, a long time ago, one of my professors, Raymond D. Adams, said that in order to do neurology or neuropathology, you needed to localize. Same rules as in real estate. And in terms of the symptoms of autism, if you were to localize them, they all belong to the cerebral cortex.
Okay, so cerebral cortex. Now, can you explain briefly what the cerebral cortex is?
Well, the cerebral cortex is the outside gray matter of the brain, where you concentrate a lot of the cells that are intrinsic to the functioning of the brain per se. They are called neurons there. And they assemble themselves into groups of cells that provide what I would say is the microprocessor of a computer.
So it's like the outer layer of the brain, like kind of the outer shell of the brain. And the neurons there are organized into layers. mm-hmm. that function like microprocessors.
Right. All of the layers together form columns of cells, and those cells, along with their projections, they provide the equivalent of a microprocessor of a computer. It's just that in the case of a laptop, you may only have one microprocessor, but in the case of the cerebral cortex, you have several hundred million of them. So that actually goes a long way towards explaining the parallel processing capacity of our brain in comparison to computers.
So what do you find that's different in the brain post-mortem? So these are people who have died, you who had autism. What do you find is different in their cerebral cortex?
Well, we have found that this microprocessor, which we call actually a mini column, is abnormal in individuals with autism. And what we have been able to discern is that the brain actually starts to divide cells that migrate to the cortex and forms this microprocessor.
So when you say these cells migrate to the cortex, you're talking mm-hmm. about when the baby is a fetus. When
right, some, during yeah, development.
During in utero development. So
right.
These cells are migrating up to the cortex to create this part of the brain, and
right.
things seem to go wrong.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And this abnormality creates like abnormalities themselves in terms of the microprocessors and how they are connected to each other.
Okay, so what is happening? The cells are migrating and they get mm-hmm. stuck. They don't mm-hmm. end up in the right layer. They're not connected properly. Like
exactly.
What?
Yes, they get stuck either within the original zone where they're germinated, or within the white matter, or within the junction of the gray-white matter, or when they actually arrive at the gray matter, they are abnormally positioned.
Abnormally positioned, so therefore they can't make those normal connections that you
right.
would see in a normal brain.
Well, the thing is that with these microprocessors, they don't work in isolation. And it's like thinking about a system that has different parts. You can think about a car, for example, that is made of a transmission, a steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
It's only by taking everything together that you get a comfortable ride. In the brain, you have these microprocessors, but by themselves, they don't do much. It's by combining them that you get executive functions, for example.
And explain executive functions.
Well, the brain controls many of the functions of the body, but there are some that actually rule over many others, and they are called executives in that regard. They don't control one function, but they control many. For example, some types of attention. You need attention to actually perform practically anything while you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
So you could call certain types of attention executive functions. There are functions within the brain that have to do with remembering things. So whenever you do something on a day-to-day basis, you're able to compare it to your experience previously.
Mm-hmm.
That sketch-type memory is also a type of executive function. It's called working memory.
Mm-hmm.
And those functions appear to be defective or abnormal in patients with autism.
Mm-hmm. That's you see that, I mean, in mm-hmm. the autism population, this absence of executive functioning, you know, not really being able to plan, not being, you know, the social deficits, mm-hmm. I think, are part of that as well. So,
well, they rely on other types of memories, mm-hmm. trying to compensate, primarily sequential in type.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have a good friend, Olga Bogdashina. She's a teacher and her son is autistic. And she usually tells me that whenever she asks a question to an autistic individual, she just has to wait for them to process the question and for them to answer. Because if she interrupts, okay, they will start from the very beginning. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they do have a special type of memory, but it relies on sequential processing. Kim Peek was actually very famous because
he Kim Peek was the guy on whom Rain Man
exactly.
was based, right?
And he had a prodigious memory. He memorized 12,000 books, But the problem is that if you ask him about any of them, okay, he would start reciting them. But if you interrupted him, he would start from the very beginning.
Mm.
So you had to let him finish.
Wow.
And that's sequential memory. It usually relies on short jumps from one gyri of the cerebral cortex to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually done with the posterior parts of the brain.
Posterior meaning behind.
Right.
You're using all the jargon, you know. Us poor autistic listeners, we're not really that smart. But I guess the bottom line here is your research looking at post-mortem brains of autistic individuals has revealed that the brains are really different. Right?
Yeah.
They're really, you can see that the neurons aren't lined up correctly,
right.
They haven't migrated correctly, they're not connecting correctly, and that mm-hmm. does seem to parallel mm-hmm. the impairments, right,
right,
that we see in
and
their
and
behaviors.
It's not only our own studies. If you look at the literature of neuropathology in autism, Jerzy Weigel, for example, he found malformations of the brain of the
mm-hmm.
same character that we have described in about 85% of the cases. Anthony Bailey, many other people have mm-hmm. actually done the same, and it's not only by microscopy, but even by neuroimaging. So there is a consensus of opinion in regards to abnormalities of the brain in autism. Different techniques, different mm-hmm. researchers.
Mm-hmm. And neuroimaging usually refers to functional magnetic resonance MRIs, right?
Well, before even functional MRI, they had structural studies. And there was a particular study where Mary Coleman was the
I know
principal.
Mary Coleman, yeah.
Yeah, you're old.
I'm old. She's great, by the way. Yeah.
She was the senior investigator, the last author in that study, and they tried to identify foci within the brain that were called unidentified bright objects, UBOs. We now know that those UBOs are islands of cells that didn't migrate properly to the cortex.
Oh, really?
And she found significant differences. So not only functionally, but even by structural studies, it really depends on the resolution, on the number of cuts, but you can certainly identify these abnormalities.
Fascinating. Now, I'm going to switch topics. Thank you for that biology lecture, everybody.
Thank you.
You're now a little bit smarter. You are a prolific blogger
mm-hmm.
and writer.
Mm-hmm.
You have a blog. I've contributed to it,
mm-hmm.
so I have to admit. So can you tell people first about your blog and where they can find it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just talk about some of your recent, you have a recent book I just read,
mm-hmm.
And one coming up, if you could talk about that.
Well, my blog is called Cortical Chauvinism, one word, and it was the name given to me by Michelle Dawson. And it actually came from one of my lectures where I used to say that a neuropathologist needed to be cortical chauvinist in regard to autism. They needed to actually capture the perspective of looking at things, at mechanisms, trying to explain them via the cerebral cortex. So she liked the term, and she always called me that, a cortical chauvinist. So I decided to write my blog, and it's corticalchauvinism.com. We have 10 books in regards to autism, only one that I have authored. I'm trying to actually write another one by the end of the year. They all deal primarily with the biology of autism.
Mm-hmm.
And we have found a lot of interesting information for parents. I think that the more you become informed, the better the choices that you take. So everybody should actually be quite militant in regards to the information, being critical of the information that they receive, and being able to actually take adequate choices.
So your most recent book was called
Defining Autism. Yeah.
And it's a relatively small paperback. You can get it on mm-hmm. Amazon. I think that's where I got it. And it is technical. But mm-hmm. if you have patience, I think mm-hmm. an average parent can wade through it, and you go through all sorts of aspects of biology. And
we had a lot of fun writing it. I actually wrote
it with your wife,
right? and she's great. I actually wrote the first couple of chapters, and I had a lot of fun because I discovered a lot about the history of autism that hadn't been published until present. And that has actually guided me on a path, and I continue being a student as of present.
We're always learning. That's so true. You're still a student, and you're only 20 years old now. You're a granddad. I know that. Grandfather. I've seen the pictures. Well, thank you, Dr. Casanova, for speaking with us at Autastic and telling us about the cerebral cortex and autism.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Well, that's it. What do you think, Graham?
I love how he says cerebral cortex. I could listen to that man speak all day. He seems so smart and so kind. And Jill did a fantastic job of interviewing him. And
she did do a great job.
It down. Yeah, absolutely. Slowing it down for the non-scientific inclined listeners,
us.
Such as you and me, us. Which I assume is probably most of us listening. Am I wrong, Kirk, in reading into this too much, and that is a major breakthrough that the autism happens in the cerebral cortex, and also that it happens in the baby's development, i.e., there is this does away with anti-vaxxers once and for all.
Well, more than that, to me, it was like, yeah, I don't disagree with that. It does away with any sort of guilt that a mom might have about. I feel like parents still struggle with this, like, concept.
Dude, I was thinking that the same thing. I want to call my mom and be like, it wasn't anything you did after he was born.
Yeah, he was developed
you didn't do anything
wrong. In the womb.
It was your body that did this to him. It's your body's fault.
Well, I wouldn't say that
your
body did
I'm
this
kidding.
To him.
It's your fault. It is your fault.
Oh, boy. Yeah, if you got anything out of this podcast, know that Graham thinks it's your fault, people.
It's just important to let men know that it's the woman's fault.
Perfect.
No, I'm kidding.
Perfect.
I'm kidding. I'm absolutely kidding.
I just want to finish my thought. The guilt associated with, oh, I could have done more intervention. Oh, I could have done more of this. Or I could have done a Head Start program. Great, you could have done all that, but that when he was being developed in utero, he or she was being developed in utero, these things were lining up and these neurons weren't advancing and they weren't in the right place, and there you go. Your turn. What were you going to say, bud?
No, exactly. It's completely out of your control.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you. It could have... It's just luck of the draw.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just thought that was a real breakthrough that made me want to call my mom and give her a big hug, because I know that she somewhere deep inside is like, what did I do? Did I do something wrong? Did this, did that, you know?
Well, because we all play the what if thing. What if all it took was I take some vitamins or whatever. You play, oh, what if I...
Sure.
You know, that one night I stayed up late. I should have gotten in bed early and got plenty of sleep. Okay, well...
Sure. Now, how could you... I would think the same thing. How could you not? And it's just... My mom doesn't express any guilt per se, but I see it sometimes when anti-vaxxers are on the news or something.
Right.
She gets so upset at them.
Right.
And
because the implication is that she did something wrong. Because if they believe that and she did the vaccinations, then she accidentally, did this to him.
Yeah. Well, made me want to hug my mom and tell her that it's fine. She didn't do anything wrong. I just thought that this was a pretty interesting breakthrough. And I love that it also, he said that it, that what he found in, it could also be found in other techniques. Other techniques corroborated what he found by looking at actual slides of the human brain of cadavers, but also... digital imaging came up with the same conclusion. So, I don't know.
I thought it was good.
I just thought it was interesting.
Yes. Send us. I think we're running out of time here. Send us your letters and let us know what you think. If there are specific people that you would like to hear from the community, like I'm interested in this and you'd like us to look into, we would consider it. We'll look into people you want to hear from the industry. I know we've had Temple Grandin was a popular one. We've had Ron Funches. We've had, different pillars of the autism community, for lack of a better word. And let us know. We also, if you did your reviews and you want to get your free copy of your book, I'm waiting. I got a couple reviews, but I don't have a way to contact them because it just says the review. So send me a screenshot and send it to me, and we'll get those copies of the book United in Autism. We promise those 5 copies.
And if you don't know how to send a screenshot for whatever reason, that's fine.
Take a picture with your phone
or
and text
or
it to me.
Mail. Email us.
Yeah, that's true.
Or Facebook message us and say, look,
that's true.
I don't know what a freaking screenshot is. I did it. Trust me. And we'll send you. You one. Right. And what's our email address?
Yeah. Autasticpodcast@gmail.com. But also, I feel like that one we're having a few issues with. Just get a hold of us through Facebook or Instagram, or just email me directly. KirkSmithComedy. I'm handling this, right? You don't want to give out your email address? I'll handle this one.
You can email me. Whatever.
Or email one of us. Yeah, I'm at KirkSmithComedy. Graham will give you his, or Instagram or Facebook, and then we'll get those out.
Yeah. If you want to email me, guys, for whatever reason, I'm always here for you. I'm Graham@GrahamKComedy.com. Graham@GrahamKComedy.com. Graham K is spelled like my name. K is difficult because people think it's initial, but I don't know, dude. But anyway, guys, if you want to also donate at Patreon, you can donate to this podcast. That's how we make money, how we keep it going. It takes a lot of time to do this, believe it or not. You can donate at patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic. That's my plug.
That's great. Great plug, guys. Have a great week. You can do it.